high above the windy blue skies of Earth, slowly rotating at the edge of deep space, is the Arthur C. Clarke Astronomical Observatory, Starlab. On Earth's moon, a quarter of a million miles beyond Starlab, Omega General Industries have uncovered the corroded hull of an ancient spacecraft during a lunar mining operation. Excavating further, they discover the mummified bodies of 50 extraterrestrial humanoids and a strange statue made of jet black crystal. Mining Operations Director Ray Farrell contacts the science complex at Lunar Base 12.
Roger, Omega General. Mine pit 15, 9 kilometers due north of Clavius. A research team is on the way. Don't touch anything until they get there. Lunar Base 12 standing by.
2 hours later, Professor Victor Conrad and his research team arrive at the excavation. They finish their preliminary investigation at 08:30 the next morning.
Hey, how's it going, Professor?
Well, the spacecraft's been under the lunar surface for close to 1,000 years, and the aliens were killed by something that turned their eyes and nervous systems into black crystal.
Black crystal? Like the statue?
The body samples and the statue samples are identical.
Well, what do you make of that damn statue anyway? The thing gives me the creeps.
I've seen that image 100 times, Mr. Farrell, carved in stone on most of the Gothic cathedrals of Europe. It's a gargoyle, a supposedly mythical creature that symbolizes ultimate spiritual evil.
1,000-year-old alien spacecraft buried beneath the lunar surface, and with it, a 4-foot-tall gargoyle made of black crystal. Mysteries from a forgotten time, waiting for a solution, as part one of the ISA conspiracy, The Darkbringers, takes us from the bright side of the moon into the unearthly light and shadow of alien worlds.
To Starlab Control.
This is Starlab. Go ahead.
Professor Conrad is standing by for Dr. Cassidy.
She's right here, Professor.
Mora, has the statue arrived yet?
It'll be here in about a half an hour. We heard from the shuttle a few minutes ago.
How is it being transported to Earth?
We've got an SET cruiser standing by.
Well, tell them to be careful with it, Mora. When we ran the thermal tests, it started to emit an ultraviolet glow that had all of us hallucinating.
Hallucinating? What do you mean?
For a few minutes there, we thought the statue was coming to life. Scared the pants off of us.
Coming to life? How did you get it to stop radiating?
Well, Arthur had the presence of mind to shut down the thermal generators, but the statue was still about 10% active at room temperature. We finally sealed it in a small liquid oxygen pod. As long as it's kept cold, it's completely inert.
We'll be careful with it, Victor. Anything else?
Yes, we're going to continue experimenting with the statue samples we've kept here. I'm setting up a photon saturation test now, and I'd like to interface our data terminals with your Mycroft computer so you can monitor the tests from there.
Good. No problem, Victor. What will you need?
A couple of standard mode multiplexer channels should do it.
All right, I'll see to it right away.
And Mora, would you mind setting up a visual link? Just in case.
Just in case of what?
I am not sure, but this whole business with the statue has everyone on edge around here. Even though it is gone, something about it is still here. Something quiet and dark.
Something invisible that waits in silent shadow, watching. Something the pilot and co-pilot of the lunar shuttle carrying the statue are unaware of.
Whoa, you better go ahead and start the pre-ignition cycle for the retros. It looks like we picked up about 3 minutes when I cleared the booster nozzles.
3 minutes, 18 seconds to be exact. It just came up on the ETA monitor. I'll let Starlab know we're going to be...
Well, meteorite puncture. Right through number 4 cargo bay.
That was just as an Ardalu.
Oh, boy. How big's the hole?
A little over 3 centimeters, according to the hull sensor. About the size of a marble.
Marble, huh? Steely, cat's eye, or shooter?
What?
Technical talk, Frank. I guess you didn't shoot marbles when you were a kid.
No, I lost mine by the time I was 13.
Give me my helmet. I'll go back and seal up that hole.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the closest I ever got to marbles after that was Chinese checkers.
Do you still play?
Well, once in a while.
Well, let's have a game or two when we get to Starland.
Oh, all right. $5 a game.
Make it 10 and you're on.
Sold. Lunar Shuttle 19 to Starlab.
Starlab, go ahead.
We're making better time than I thought. Our revised ETA is 10 minutes, 10 seconds.
Roger. Your new docking coordinates are 08 Alpha. Approach vector 2902.
Thanks, Starlab. How's it going back there, Lou?
The meteorite sheared the top off the pod with a statue in it. The liquid oxygen's leaking out.
Well, I told you it wasn't our day. Have you sealed the hole?
In the hull, yeah. There's not much I can do about the pod.
Well, they said to keep the statue on ice. Tell you what, flood the hole with chill vapor from the fire control system. That should keep it cold enough until we dock.
Frank, there's something moving around back here.
Well, what is it?
I don't know. It's hard to see anything through the chill vapor.
Ancient shadow creature is loose aboard Lunar Shuttle 19. The sound of its unearthly fury merges with a terrified scream of co-pilot Lou Stratton. Then, silence. Pilot Frank Hollister activates the visual scanner in Cargo Bay 4.
Oh my God. Lou!
Firing the shuttle's booster rockets, he accelerates toward the safety of Starlab, bringing with him the demon spirit of an alien world. Alien Worlds continues. Decaying alien spacecraft, the mummified bodies of 50 extraterrestrial humanoids, and a black crystal gargoyle have been found buried beneath the surface of the moon. The gargoyle is taken to the science complex at Lunar Base 12, where during a routine thermal experiment, it begins to radiate an ultraviolet glow that causes terrifying hallucinations. Discovering that the statue is inert when cold, Professor Victor Conrad seals it into a liquid oxygen pod and sends it to Starlab aboard Lunar Shuttle 19. 10 minutes away from the giant space station, the hull of the shuttle is penetrated by a tiny meteorite that splits open the statue's pod. The shuttle's co-pilot goes to Cargo Bay 4 to repair the meteorite puncture, and is suddenly attacked by something dark and unearthly.
It's all there in the flight recorder, Dr. Cassidy. How many times do I have to go through this?
This is the last time, Lieutenant. I promise.
It won't work.
What do you mean? What won't work?
All this interrogation. You're not going to trap me into saying anything I haven't said before.
Look, no one's trying to trap you.
Oh, come on. Who do you think you're kidding? Yesterday it was the security officer, Major Wheeler. Last night it was Dr. Rossiter. Today it's you. You're working up a psychological profile on me, right?
You're wrong, Lieutenant. None of us had any intention of...
Lee Stratton was my best friend, Dr. Cassidy. But there just wasn't anything I could do.
When did you realize it was too late?
When I switched on the visual scanner and saw him hanging upside down from the storage rafter. His face. The look on his face.
What else did you see?
The statue. Sitting there in the corner, looking up at him.
Professor Conrad?
Yes, I'm right here.
I've got Starlab on Scrambler Channel M. It's Dr. Cassidy.
Good, good. Patch her through.
Victor, Lieutenant Stratton's autopsy report just came off the computer. I have the grid out here in front of me.
Anything definite on the cause of death?
No, there were too many variables. But the projections range all the way from 6 kinds of heart failure to terminal neuroinduction.
Terminal neuro... You don't mean death by psychic suggestion?
That's what it says here.
What about the black crystals in his eyes and nervous system?
They're identical to those you took from the bodies of the extraterrestrials. But Mycroft couldn't compute either the source or the structure.
What else?
His brain. It was 364 grams lighter than the average for a man his age.
What about the size?
Well, that's what's so strange, Victor. The size wasn't changed at all, just the weight. What do you think?
I think I'll go ahead with the experiments on the statue samples we've kept here.
I don't know, Victor. The statue arrived at the ISA lab an hour ago. But couldn't you at least wait till they've had a chance to look it over?
We can't afford to postpone the experiments any longer. Whatever happened on the shuttle might happen again. Besides, we've got a 48-hour head start on ISA. We may as well take advantage of it.
All right. Victor, have you come up with anything to explain how the statue got out of the pod?
Not unless you're willing to accept the possibility that the statue really isn't a statue at all, but some kind of transmorphic creature that feeds off the psychic energy of intelligent beings.
Well, I'm going to have to think about that. Good luck with the test. And please, Victor, be careful.
We will.
You got a minute, Victor?
Of course, Rachel. Come on in.
We just finished the comparative analysis of the scanner tapes we made of the statue when it was here and the scanner data of the statue transmitted from Star Lab. I don't know if you're ready for this. We weren't. But the statue's changed.
Changed? In what way?
Well, the scan made after the shuttle incident shows that it's 60 millimeters taller than it was when it left here.
Are you sure?
We cross-checked everything.
What else?
Well, the face. It's not looking straight ahead anymore. It's looking up at an angle of 57 degrees.
Go on.
The statue's heavier by 364 grams.
As the mystery of the black crystal gargoyle deepens, so does the urgency to discover and resolve its supernatural secrets. At Lunar Base 12 Science Complex, Professor Conrad and his research team prepare a photon saturation test on 2 small crystal samples removed from the statue during an earlier experiment.
Rachel, will you please ask Arthur and Misha to meet me in conference room 4? I'd like to have a word with them before we start. And you had better join us too.
Right away, Victor.
Back aboard Starlab, preparation of a visual link between Starlab Control and the interior of Professor Conrad's moon laboratory is supervised by Maura Cassidy.
Sally, I think the visual feed from Lunar Base should be cross-linked with Mycroft. That way, if something goes wrong with the VTR, we can always retrieve the pictures from the computer.
Okay, I'll have it programmed in about 15 minutes.
On Earth, the statue arrives at the ISA Research Center and is locked in a refrigerated laboratory vault, where ISA technicians begin their own experiments.
All right, let's shave off a couple of 2-micron specimens and
Get them under the electron microscope.
Hideous damn creature, isn't it? Wonder what it's looking up at.
Meanwhile, Captains John Graydon and Buddy Griff bank the SET interceptor Solaris away from the freighter convoy they've been escorting to the Tinian 3 shipping lanes and jet towards Starlab.
Did they ever figure out what it was?
Not really. Scientific opinion was divided about 70-30.
In favor of an alien spacecraft?
No, in favor of a meteor.
How many people saw the explosion?
Well, there were quite a few villages about 500 miles away, and everyone living in them saw it.
At that distance?
Skipper, when that thing exploded, it lit up the sky as far away as London. And the sky stayed that way for 3 days and nights.
Huh. When did all this happen?
1908.
Amazing. Where do you get these books, anyway?
Ingrid, the librarian on Starlight.
No.
She came across this one while she was looking for an Oscar Wilde novel that Mora wanted to read.
And what made her think that you'd be interested?
The title. It's called The Fire Came By.
Starlab Control to Solaris.
This is Solaris. Go ahead, Jerry.
Mara'd like to speak with you.
Put her on.
John, do you have enough fuel to take a side trip to the moon?
Buddy?
Yeah, we're okay.
What do you want us to do, Mara?
I've scheduled a conference with Professor Conrad. Pick him up at Lunar Base 12 and bring him here. He's starting an experiment now, but he should be finished by the time you get there.
Okay, we'll take care of it, Mara.
Hello, buddy. Goodbye, buddy.
Cute, Mara. Cute.
In the science complex at Lunar Base 12, Professor Conrad places a sample of the statue into a Stellatron Systems PC-80 photon chamber. On Starlab, Mara watches by remote visual link as Professor Conrad seals the chamber, sits down at a control console, and presses a button. Radiant white light illuminates the chamber's observation ports as the needle-thin beams of 6 neothane zellium lasers penetrate the statue's specimen, a fragment of night chipped from the lightless atmospheres of an alien world. Alien Worlds continues. As John and Buddy jet toward the moon aboard the Solaris, Professor Conrad and his research team move into the second stage of their photon saturation test with a black crystal gargoyle specimen. On Starlab, Mora monitors the experiment by remote visual link. On one screen, a wide-angle interior view of Professor Conrad's moon laboratory. On a second screen, the bright metal pyramid-shaped photon chamber.
Rachel, the spectroscope is starting to shift out of phase. Will you please check it?
Right away, Victor.
Arthur, what was your last refractive index reading?
It didn't even register. The crystals are absorbing all coherent light up to 8,000 angstroms.
All right. Let's switch over to the neon borazine lasers. Program them for a 1 milliradian beam, and we'll work our way up from there.
All right.
How are you doing, Mora?
I'm not quite sure. I don't think I should have had whatever that was I had for lunch. I get some pretty weird food around here sometimes.
Well, chew a couple of papaya enzyme tablets. They'll fix you up in no time. And if you wish to stretch your legs or anything, you'd better do it now. This next part of the experiment is going to take a while.
No, I think I'll just sit here and plan my revenge on the Starlab chef.
We're ready, Victor.
It looks like intermission's over, Mora. All right, Rachel. Turn them loose.
Oh, my God.
Victor! Victor!
Dr. Cassidy, what's going on? I just saw some telemetry from Lunar Base.
Look, there's been an
explosion. Jerry, contact the Solaris and tell them to get to Lunar Base 12 as fast as they can.
Starlight control to Solaris. Starlight control to Solaris.
Sally, get hold of the ISA lab and tell them to stop their experiments with the statue until they hear from me.
This is Solaris. Go ahead, Jerry.
I'm on my way.
I've got the Solaris, Mara.
We're coming up on it now, Mara.
Have you had any radio contact with him?
No, not a word. Even the microwave safety beacon has stopped transmitting. Skipper, screen 5. My God, what happened?
John, buddy, what is it? What do you see?
Mara, Lunar Base 12 no longer exists.
What do you mean?
It's been blown to pieces, completely leveled. The entire base. Skipper, screen 6.
Buddy, what is it? What's happening?
A ship. Just above the horizon. It's moving away from us. Magnify it, buddy. Looks something like an old Tarantula-class gunship, except it's about 5 times bigger. Jerry, record this.
We're rolling.
It's black. Stacked wings angle down about 60 degrees. Yellow markings that look like Cyrillic script, only upside down. Gee, Skipper, what do you make of that?
Keep talking, buddy.
These short black spikes are starting to bristle out all over the hull. Uh-oh, Skipper, it's turning around. Mara, stand by. We're going in for a closer look at that ship. Open a close proximity channel, buddy. Let's see if they'll talk to us. You're on, Skipper. This is Earthship Solaris. Please identify yourself. Skipper, let's get some altitude before their aim improves. This is Earthship Solaris. Our intentions are not hostile. Please. All right. I'll try it one more time, but that is it. You better let me do it, Skipper. Every time you talk to them, they shoot at us.
Solaris, there is still time.
Time for what?
Escape.
From what?
Ask your dead brothers and sisters on the wasteland below us.
Damn you. You did that? You murdered all those people? But why?
They were committing sacrilege.
Just who the... Who are you?
Disciples.
Of what?
Lightlessness.
I've had about all of this I can take. Hold on, buddy. Skipper, lightning is pouring out of those spikes and crawling all over the hull of their ship. Activate the rest of the laser turrets, buddy. We're going around again. I didn't even phase him, Skipper. That lightning soaked up our lasers like a sponge. We're hit. Flame out on number 4 thruster. There goes number 2. The starboard fuel pods are split open. Skipper, if we don't get out of here now, we'll have to set her down on the moon. I don't want to leave that ship to Starlab.
Solaris, we are aware of the thing you name. Don't concern yourself with its safety. It is one of our destinations.
Come on, Skipper. It's now or never.
Use docking bay 4, John. The crash barriers are up and the fire control crew is standing by.
John, where's that ship?
Right behind us. Turn your seat around, buddy. Here we go.
John! Buddy, are you all right?
We're okay. Come on, buddy. Let's get out of here.
Mara, the alien ship. Screen 10.
Listen to me, Starlab.
Who are you?
I am Stygos, High Priest of the Trail. You have stolen the symbol of our redemption.
The symbol? The statue?
Narl is his rightful name. We have traced him to your moon. We know his presence has graced the machine you live in. Where is he?
I don't know.
Then take your last look at the stars.
The Trail. A race of bloodless shadow beings, searching for their symbol of redemption. An icon of lightless crystal, representing the dark god Narl. An ancient demon creature, creeping through the starless dimensions, of alien worlds. Part one of the ISA conspiracy, The Darkbringers, was written by Ron Thompson. Our cast included Linda Gary, Chuck Olson, Bruce Miller, and Corey Burton, with special guest stars Byron Kane, Charles McGraw, Molly Dodd, and Ernie Anderson. Associate producer, Jeff Allen. Music director, Tom Rounds. Engineer, Stu Jacobs. Assistant to the producer, Roger Brossi. Alien Worlds was created, produced, and directed by Lee Hansen and is distributed by Watermark Incorporated. And so until next week, this is Roger Dressler inviting you to join us for part two of the ISA conspiracy on Alien Worlds. Skies of Earth, slowly rotating at the edge of deep space, is the Arthur C. Clarke Astronomical Observatory, Starlab. Last week's episode began on Earth's moon, a quarter of a million miles beyond Starlab, when Omega General Industries uncovered the corroded hull of an ancient alien spacecraft during a lunar mining operation. Carefully widening the excavation, the moon miners find the mummified bodies of 50 extraterrestrial humanoids scattered in grotesque positions around a 4-foot-high statue made of glittering black crystal. 2 hours later, Professor Victor Conrad and his research team arrive to investigate. Conrad takes the statue to the science complex at Lunar Base 12. 24 hours later, he contacts Dr. Maura Cassidy on Starlab.
Maura, has the statue arrived yet?
It'll be here in about a half an hour. We heard from the shuttle a few minutes ago.
How is it being transported to Earth?
We've got an SET cruiser standing by.
Well, tell them to be careful, Aunt Maura. When we ran the thermal tests, it started to emit an ultraviolet glow that had all of us hallucinating. For a few minutes there, we thought the statue was coming to life. They finally sealed it in a small liquid oxygen bath. As long as it's kept cold, it's completely inert.
But 10 minutes later, the shuttle carrying the statue is penetrated by a tiny meteorite that splits open the statue's pod. And when the shuttle co-pilot goes to Cargo Bay 4... When the shuttle arrives at Starlab, the co-pilot is found hanging upside down from a storage rafter, dead. And the statue is found outside its shattered pod, staring up at the co-pilot's contorted body.
Victor, have you come up with anything to explain how the statue got out of the pod?
Not unless you're willing to accept the possibility that the statue really isn't a statue at all, but some kind of transmorphic creature that feeds off the psychic energy of intelligent beings.
The next morning, Conrad and his research team resume their experiments with the statue samples they've kept at Lunar Base 12. But as Maura sits in Starlab control, monitoring the interior of Conrad's moon laboratory by remote visual link...
I just lost our telemetry from Lunar Base.
Look, there's been an explosion. Jerry, contact the Solaris and tell them to get to Lunar Base 12 as fast as they can.
John, buddy, what is it? What do you see?
Maura, Lunar Base 12 no longer exists.
What do you mean?
It's been blown to pieces, completely leveled. Skipper, screen 6.
Buddy, what is it? What's happening?
A ship, just above the horizon.
We're hit.
Its starboard fuel pod split open, and two of its thrusters damaged by laser fire from the alien ship. The Solaris banks away from the moon and makes an emergency landing on Starlab. A few moments later...
Mara, the alien ship, Screen 10.
Listen to me, Starlab. I am Stygos, High Priest of the Trell. You have stolen the symbol of our redemption.
The symbol? The statue?
Narl is his rightful name. We have traced him to your moon. We know his presence has graced the machine you live in. Where is he?
I don't know.
Then take your last look at the stars.
Starlab's confrontation with the Trell ship continues as part two of the ISA conspiracy, the Diatoms, takes us deeper into the mystery of the dark god Narl, an ancient demon creature from the starless dimensions of alien worlds.
Wait. Please wait. I know where he is. But if you destroy us, you'll never find him. Because I'm the only one who does know.
The secret of Narl's whereabouts is not yours to keep.
And the lives of the 200 men and women at Lunar Base 12 were not yours to take.
They were violating the sanctity of Narl by subjecting the fragments of his being to the light.
But they didn't know they were doing anything wrong.
Narl is not a merciful divinity in the sense that you understand mercy. Neither is he forgiving in the sense that you understand forgiveness.
But there's nothing about innocence to forgive.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Suffer the darkness until you do.
Mara! Mara!
Mara, what the hell is happening to her?
Don't touch her! Don't touch her!
Buddy, medical alert!
Which one? Which button? Sector 4, buddy! The yellow one!
Mara! Mara, don't try to... Just lie still.
This is Medical 4. Stay where you are. An emergency unit is on the way.
Jerry, your hands. Are you all right?
I guess so.
What happened?
Well, she was watching the screen, talking to the alien. And then the screen threw off a tremendous burst of color. And then the lightning was all over her. It was so cold, it burned my hands.
John?
I'm right here, Mara. And so is Buddy. Dr. Rossiter's on her way.
John, I'm blind.
Sightless, visionless, unseen, Mora's eyes eclipsed by a light-fearing intruder from an alien world. From a visual scanner screen in Starlab Control. Filaments of sub-zero lightning lash out and curl around Mara, freezing her in a painful web of cold, crawling electricity. A web Stygos has somehow spun from his ship, which lurks near Starlab like a huge, dark spider. When the lashing ribbons of lightning finally release her, Mara falls, blind.
Your blindness is just a warning, Mara. How long it lasts, it depends upon how soon you tell me where Gnarl is.
Shut down all the transmitter frequencies, Jerry. Now run a check on Screen 10's receiver circuits. Whatever they use must have come in through the outside lens.
Okay.
What are you going to do, Maura?
If they find out where the statue is, God knows how many more people they'll kill. I can't tell them. I just can't.
Are you sure?
Yes. No, I don't know. Why does everything depend on me? Can't anyone else make a decision?
John, the receiver circuits on Screen 10 are completely burned out.
Okay. Shut the louvers and all the outside scanner lenses.
They're closed.
Oh, Dr. Rossiter, am I ever glad to see you.
Oh, Diane.
Maura, what happened?
I've been blinded.
Oh, my dear God.
There's a hostile alien ship outside. It fired some kind of energy beam in through one of the scanner screen lenses.
All right, Maura. Now let's have a look. I'm shining the light directly into your eyes. Can you see it?
No. But I think I can feel it.
I'm taking the light away. Now, I'm shining it into your eyes again.
Yes. Yes, I can feel it.
Let's get her on the stretcher and take her up to sickbay.
Take her for a second. Okay.
Jerry, you better have Dr. Rossiter take a look at your hands.
I'm okay now.
What do we do now, Maura?
Tell Stigos you know where the statue is, but explain that it's going to take time to get it back here. If that doesn't work, use our photon injectors on his ship. Maybe they'll be able to do what the laser cannons on the Solaris couldn't. I'll contact Commissioner White and tell him what's going on. Now, come on, Diana. Communications first, and then sit back.
Sound general quarters, Jerry. Okay, open a close proximity frequency. Let's see how good we are at telling the big lie. Stigos, this is Captain Graydon.
Have you made a decision?
Yes, we've decided to give you the statue.
Our sensors indicate that Gnarl is no longer aboard your machine.
No, he isn't, but we've contacted the laboratory where he was taken, and our scientists are sending him back.
You're lying, Captain Graydon. We've monitored no transmissions.
Close the channel, Jerry. Now open number 8 scanner lens and project a target grid onto the screen. All right, interface the coordinates of their ship with our photon injectors. We have a target interlock. Stand by. And for God's sakes, keep away from the screen. 3, 2, 1.
No good, Skipper, no good. Their force field is deflecting everything.
The ship's coming around. Jerry, shut down screen. Too late.
Buddy, hit the deck. Crawl away from the lightning.
It stopped. What happened? Jerry, let's see what's going on. Skipper, the ship's moving away from us.
Buddy, look!
What is it? Magnify it, Jerry. My God. It's a city. A floating city.
As the black metal insect ship of the Trell stalks away into the dark distances of deep space, a huge floating platform appears and slowly moves toward Starlab. On the platform, a dazzling architectural phantasm, a dream city of white crystal towers, transparent steel minarets, gleaming arches, and pale metal domes. As John, Buddy, and Jerry stand silently in Starlab control, watching the approach of the shining, mirage-like metropolis, Maura tries desperately to contact Commissioner White at the ISA Command Center on Earth.
I'm sorry, Dr. Cassidy, but it's a top security conference. Commissioner White left strict orders that he wasn't to be disturbed.
Listen, you, we've got an emergency situation up here.
I'm only following orders.
Yeah, right. That's what they all said.
Now, Maura, if you don't change your tune, I'm going to be forced to stick a tranquilizer syringe in your backside.
ISA, please have him contact me as soon as possible.
I will, Dr. Cassidy. ISA out.
If I could only see. Maura, we haven't even examined you yet. And already you're acting like a poor little orphan child who's got herself lost in the woods.
I am.
Yes, you am. Don't start feeling sorry for yourself now. We have too much to do.
Attention all Starlab personnel. The emergency alert is terminated. Stand down from general quarters and return to your stations. Dr. Cassidy, please contact Captain Graydon and Starlab Control.
John, it's Maura. What's happening?
The troll ship has broken off its attack and left the area.
What did you do to get him to back off?
It wasn't anything we did. It was something else.
What?
A city.
A what?
A floating city.
Are you serious?
Maura, he's serious. It's holding a position 2 kilometers off Starlab. A huge space platform with a fantastic white city built on it. It looks like something out of a futuristic Arabian Nights.
I'll be right there. Come on, Diana, take me back up to the bridge. John, is it still out there?
Hasn't moved an inch.
Oh, Maura. It's so beautiful.
Are you here, Jerry?
I'm right here.
Please, open a close proximity frequency.
Go ahead, Maura.
This is Dr. Maura Cassidy. Would you please identify yourself?
Dr. Maura Cassidy. Which of those three names do you have the greatest affection for?
Maura.
We are the Diatoms, Maura. And we inhabit the star city of Imbria. I am Phaedra, Sky Priestess of the Before Time. We know your machine has experienced an encounter with the Trell. Did Stygos harm you?
Yes. Yes, he did. I'm blind.
Can you feel the light upon your eyes?
Why, yes. Yes, I can.
Then it will be my pleasure to restore your sight.
It will?
Of course. We have no vehicles of our own, so transport yourself here to Imbria. A projection of light will guide you. I'll be waiting.
Oh, yes. Jerry? Jerry, call the short-range vehicle hangar and tell them to get a shuttle ready. John, Bonnie, Diana, let's go to Imbria.
Imbria, a fantasy of gleaming crystal and bright transparent metal, a construct of light and serenity and magic. A floating star city, casting its radiance over all who grope their way along the blind corridors of alien worlds. Continues. Inside the white crystal city of Imbria, which floats 2 kilometers beyond Starlab, Phaedra kneels in her meditation chamber, listening to a sky mantra, the Diatom healing music she will use to restore Maura's sight. On Starlab, Maura, John, Buddy, and Dr. Diana Rossiter enter the short-range vehicle hangar and move toward the shuttle that will take them to Imbria.
How's it going, Bobby?
Might as well get aboard, John. We'll have her fueled in another 10 minutes.
Aboard the Black Trail insect ship, Stygos, alone in his quarters, receives a message from his tracking systems officer.
Stygos, what do you want? As our ship withdrew from Starlab, we monitored a transmission. It was the voice of the female who received the transmission. A laboratory on Earth, Ultracorus. That laboratory is our new destination.
Meanwhile, at the ISA laboratory, Commissioner White and Julian Benedict, head of the World Council's Experimental Weapons Section, are debating over which of their two organizations should have possession of the Black Crystal statue, Nahl.
Matthew, if we can take the energy that statue puts out and incorporate it into some of our experimental thought weapon hardware, we'll be years ahead of everyone else in that area. Don't you see the advantage of that?
No, Julian, I don't. This is a science complex and not an arsenal.
Matthew, weapons development is as much a part of science as molecular biology or celestial mechanics.
Is it? When was the last time you heard of someone being killed by a microscope or a mathematical equation?
The bomb started out as a mathematical equation, didn't it?
Yes, and so did triple-yield agriculture and antibiotics and spaceflight. The bomb was created within the reality of a global war, Julian. That reality no longer exists, and I see no reason to encourage its return. The last thing we need is a repetition of the arms race of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Didn't the petroleum war teach you anything?
That had nothing to do with us.
It had everything to do with us, Julian, and you know it.
I want that statue.
Julian, do you believe in the evolution of human consciousness?
Of course I do.
What about immortality? Do you believe in that?
Yes, I suppose so.
Then would you mind telling me of what use weapons are to evolution and of what use war is to immortality?
I didn't come here to discuss abstract philosophy.
The statue stays here, Julian.
Do you know what this is, Matthew?
I haven't the slightest idea.
It's a World Council directive signed by the secretary, ordering you to release the statue to my section.
Julian, we both know your section is being phased out. Why are you going through all this?
It won't be phased out for another year. And if I can help it, it won't be phased out at all. After all, what if the statue should fall into the wrong hands? What would be our defense against it?
Can I see that directive? Thanks. You'll have to excuse me now, Julian. I have things to do. And stay away from my people. I've already given them orders not to cooperate with you. As far as you're concerned, I'm the ISA, and this is between us.
What is this, Matthew? Some kind of conspiracy?
Yes, it is, Julian. A conspiracy of my values against yours.
Everyone strapped in?
Wait a minute, buddy. Maura, shouldn't that strap go over instead of under?
What strap?
The one you're sitting on.
Oh, I was wondering what that was. Yes, thanks, Diane.
Okay, buddy, let's run it down. Navigation and thrust vector systems? Check. Attitude gyros? Locked. Service propulsion and reaction control systems? Positive.
Commissioner White on B channel.
Thanks, Jerry. Punch him in, buddy.
I just got your message. What's going on up there?
More than I ever thought possible. How soon can you get here?
Well, it all depends. Does it have anything to do with the statue?
It has everything to do with the statue.
All right, I'll leave right away.
Now, where were we?
Ignition, Skipper?
Don't mind if I do.
John, Buddy, Maura, and Dr. Rossiter jet toward the Diatom Star City, Imbria. Commissioner White enters the short-range vehicle dome near the ISA laboratory and boards a priority shuttle. 5 minutes later, the shuttle is towed from the dome to Launch Pad 6. Then, as the setting sun slowly erases the day, the shuttle lifts off and disappears into the darkening sky, racing toward Starlab on twin streams of fire. Meanwhile, 550 kilometers above and 400 kilometers south of the ISA laboratory, the Black Trail insect ship enters the Earth's ionosphere.
Approaching the laboratory, Stagos. Have precautions been taken? Our impulse deflectors will confuse the echo patterns of any detection beam that touches us. We will appear to them only as a flaw mirage. Leave me now. I sense that you are restless now, but be patient. The disciples are near. The deliverance is at hand. Part 2 of the ISA conspiracy, The Diatoms, was written by Ron Thompson. Our cast included Linda Gary, Chuck Olson, Bruce Miller, and Corey Burton, with special guest stars Rusie Taylor, Michael Rye, Francis Bay, Robert W. Morgan, and Ernie Anderson. Associate producer Jeff Allen, music director Tom Rounds, engineer Stu Jacobs, assistant to the producer Roger Brossi. Alien Worlds was created, produced, and directed by Lee Hansen and is distributed by Watermark Incorporated. And so until next, inviting you to join us for The Light Storm, the conclusion of the ISA conspiracy on Alien Worlds.